You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Hey, Evil Empire SEC, we see you and raise you 41 schools in an alliance. Ha ha. Welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM on this Tuesday. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Stop on by. Tell them that Scott, Mark, Ben, everybody at KGYM sent you as we take you through the Tuesday edition of the program. Scott Unash with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes will join me coming up here in just a moment. Lots of things to discuss. The brand new alliance between the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC is now official as of 1 o'clock Central Time today. What does it mean for Iowa? What does it mean for Iowa State? What does it mean for college athletics? We'll talk about it with you. We'll also talk about it with our guest, Ben Visser, who covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Silly us, when we contacted Ben, we said, yeah, we're just going to preview the season, talk a little bit about the UNI game, look ahead to Iowa, talk about the top 10 rated Cyclones. Little did we know what was in the offing at that time, but we will talk with Ben Visser coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600, that is a text line. I imagine that will be up and running in a big way today. Again, that is 319-366-1600. We will have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you as well coming up toward the back half of the first half hour of the program today. Thanks for tuning in. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream. The KGYM mobile app, please download it if you have not done so already. And of course, tuning in to your smart speaker as well. And a historic day today, Mark. Good afternoon as we bring you in from the southwest side, a very steamy southwest side of Cedar Rapids. How you doing?
Indeed it is. Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And I must say, that was a very crafty opening on your part.
Thank you. Thank you. Took all day of preparation to come up with that. No.
Well, so be it, yeah.
But, you know, there are a lot of questions out there as far as what is going to happen with the brand new alliance. And that, of course, was announced today at 1 o'clock. The three commissioners from the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC all getting together. And what it basically means is this. We see USEC, even though the reports are now that the SEC was not the one that instigated Texas and Oklahoma coming. It was Texas that instigated it, all this happening about 2 weeks ago. But at any rate, they are there. It is now a 16-team SEC down the line. We will see your 16-team SEC and raise you a 41-team super alliance, if you will. This will not only be for football, but it will be for all sports, men's and women's basketball, as well as the Olympic sports out there as well. What does it all mean? And when is it going to start? Some of the questions that remain to be answered out there, especially for football, Mark, because as we know, schedules are made years in advance, sometimes decade in advance. That is the situation as far as those three conferences that make up the alliance are concerned. You're going to have to wheel and deal a lot of money around to get out of some of these games that have already been put on the books. But the way it looks anyway, when the alliance comes together, you're going to see the Big Ten, for example, talk of the Big Ten playing eight conference games, playing a conference game against a team from the Pac-12, a team from the ACC, and then two other non-conference games, if you will. And I guarantee you, if they're not in the Big Ten, one of those two non-conference games is probably not going to be Iowa and Iowa State in the future if the Cyclones are not in the Big Ten, because that's a whole nother prong of this story that came out today, Mark.
Yeah, a lot of unresolved questions that I know you have out there, that I have. I know you do, Scott. But basically, this alliance And don't get it confused with conference reorganization, because it is not that, at least yet. It's basically an alliance formed to have a like philosophy towards NCAA governance and other issues. It has to do with future football scheduling. The ACC commissioner said the three commissioners are bullish on that aspect of it. It's positioning on postseason college football playoffs and also scheduling with men's and women's basketball and perhaps Olympic sports. And I view this kind of a preemptive strike to what's going to happen in November, Scott. And that is when the NCAA is going to have a constitutional convention and decide what it's going to be or if it's going to be. And this three-pronged alliance represents 60% of the Power Five schools, a healthy chunk. There's no question about that. And one that could have a lot of influence on the college landscape. But I think another piece that was came out late in the news conferences, that the Pac-12 will have an announcement on any expansion by the end of the week. Stay tuned for that.
That's going to be the next domino to fall. 319-366-1600. Text line available to you. Love to hear from you today. Iowa fans, Big Ten fans, Iowa State fans, fans of college athletics in general. Your thoughts about this. And yeah, that's the other thing that came out. And consider the source, if you will. Your friend Dave Wanstead, Mark, former head coach of your Chicago Bears, coming out today on Chicago radio and saying that it's basically a done deal as far as the next round of conference expansion is concerned. You're going to have Iowa State and Kansas in the Big Ten. You're going to have West Virginia off to the ACC. You're going to have Oklahoma State and Kansas State off to the Pac-12, because you can see an ocean from Manhattan, Kansas, Mark, as you know. I'm being facetious there, of course, but it's going to leave a few teams kind of sitting there going, raising their hands and saying, what do we do at the present time? Because they're going to be in a lot of trouble. The AAC and the Big 12 leftovers are going to be in big, big trouble, because they're going to be an island. And they're going to be in an island as far as scheduling is concerned. They're not going to be able to schedule, even if they wanted to, and even if the big boys would allow them to. They won't be able to schedule the Big Ten, the Pac-12, or the ACC. So get used to the Sun Belts and other conferences, such as the Mountain West. Mountain West also going to be on a little bit of an island. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out, but that's, I think, the next thing to fall is going to be another round of conference realignments. And that's where you bring in Iowa and Iowa State. As of right now, with this alliance in football probably not taking effect for a few years down the road anyway, if Iowa State does not go to the Big Ten, which is rumored, obviously, is this the end, at least in football, of the Cy-Hawk rivalry between Iowa and Iowa State? And I would have to say, unless Iowa State goes to the Big Ten, I think this will mark the end of that rivalry.
That is the subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement down in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team there. Will the Cy-Hawk football series survive within the Big Ten's changing landscape? Yes or no?
Good question.
You certainly hope that will be the case. With this new alliance, does it mean that, for example, does Iowa in 2027 open with a game at Oregon or a game at North Carolina or vice versa, games at Kinnick Stadium? And it's important to remember the ESPN contracts do not expire until 2026. I'm sure some finagling may be able to be done. I don't know. But there is that timetable, at least as of right now. As far as Iowa and Iowa State goes, it still depends on a lot of things. You know, the non-conference may or may not have to include games against the Pac-12 or the ACC. Could have room for an Iowa State. And we don't know where Iowa State is going to fall in this whole realignment, if it falls at all, whether the Big 12 adds teams. Those things are still to be determined. So I think it's more in danger of going away now than it was yesterday.
319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you out there. 2030, I love it. I can't stand the SEC. I don't think it's an SEC situation right now. And again, from the reports, the SEC did not go after Texas. Texas went after the SEC and called Oklahoma and said, hey, you want to come? It'll be fun getting beat up by Alabama every year. You know, it's just depending on your outlook, I guess, 2030, as far as that is concerned. But it's interesting, and one of the first comments that a lot of people had was Kirk's ire, of course, of playing Pac-12 schools. Iowa has not done so since the famous rain game in Arizona a few years back, where Kirk basically, if you read between the lines, said, we aren't doing this again. Kirk, by the time the Alliance scheduling in football kicks in, pretty good chance that Kirk Ferentz is probably not going to be the head coach of the Hawkeyes. Would you agree on that, Mark?
Better than 50-50, yep.
Yeah, so I think that's a moot point right now. As far as Kirk is not bigger than the Alliance. We can say that with all truthfulness right now, because it does not matter if any coach in the Big Ten does not want to do this. You're going to go out and play Stanford, or you're going to go out and play Utah, or you're going to go out and play, you know, Washington when the Alliance tells you you're going to go out and play them. That's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, there's just so many moving parts. We've talked about college football scheduling being in advance, you know, in 2027, 2030, and beyond. So a lot of issues need to be resolved in that area. I know Michigan and Texas are scheduled to play in like 26 or 27, something like that. So again, a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We've gotten the Iowa and Iowa State bantering back and forth, getting together and getting started on the text line. That's always great to see. Boy, is Cy-Hawk week going to be interesting coming up this year. No doubt about it, with both teams rated in the top 20 as far as most every one of the major polls is concerned. But and another question this brings up to me, and this, as someone who likes and has been to many, many, many contests for the UNI Panthers, again, this kind of, you know, sticks your thumb in the eye of that particular group, because they're not going to be able, they may get a game here and there as far as a non-conference football game is concerned, but again, been told that you cannot play, Iowa and Iowa State will not play Drake and UNI in basketball, for example, but they're going to play these other teams. Granted, you lose to we've gone over it so many times, and it's too bad. It's too bad. It's another reason to play these games, and I think that's another prong as far as this is concerned. Yes, 3166. That is the question. Could they bring Iowa State into the Big Ten? And if you missed it earlier, start of the show, 3166, Dave Wannstedt said that on Chicago radio today, that it's Iowa State and Kansas to the Big Ten in the next round of conference expansion or realignment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. We'll see what Ben Visser has to say about that. He's the Gazette beat writer for Iowa State, who we're going to talk to in just a little while. And we could, once again, learn by the end of the week, as the Pac-12 commissioner said, there will be an announcement on its expansion by then. May not involve Iowa State or Kansas, but it could involve Oklahoma State, Kansas State, maybe no one. Who knows?
We'll see. And who's going to be left over holding the bag as far as the folks are concerned in the Big 12 Conference? 319 here on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Let you know that we do have a little bit of weather out there. We've got severe thunderstorm warnings that have gone into effect. We have a severe thunderstorm warning that is in effect until 345, which includes the folks in northern Benton County, northern Linn County, southern Delaware County, southern Buchanan County, and northwestern Jones County as well. There's a line of thunderstorms located along a line extending from Troy Mills down through Center Point to the Vinton area, and it's moving east at 45 miles per hour. Very strong winds are associated with this. So again, that is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for that particular area, and that goes until 345. Also until 345, northeastern Buchanan, northwestern Dubuque County, and all of Delaware County is involved in a severe thunderstorm warning as well. Taking a look at the radar right now, that band of rain with a very strong and windy front to it is making its way east and slightly to the southeast as well, and probably going to be inching its way toward the Cedar Rapids, Marion metro area probably within the next hour or so. So just keep that in mind if you have any outdoor activities going on throughout the evening. And we'll keep you updated right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600, our friend Kyle, I'm glad I am not Bob Bowlesby once again. hey, 64-29, I didn't hear anything, but is Notre Dame part of the alliance due to the ACC affiliation, or are they aligning themselves with the SEC? No Notre Dame in this, Mark, as far as I read today.
No, I think the ACC affiliation was for 1 year in football due to COVID. Yes. I could be wrong.
Yes. Doug in Coralville with an amazing prediction. This is his crazy prediction for the next 10 years. The SEC will become a super conference by adding Michigan, Ohio State, and USC, kick out Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Arkansas. And they will control their, they will become an empire that controls college sports.
Wow.
0333. I thought you said that the Hawks get two non-conference games. That is what people are looking at. Why wouldn't one of them be the Cy-Hawk? If it's over, then it's a great bowl game for any big city because the fans travel. You are not going, if you have a full slate, Mark, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have a full slate of Big Ten games, or if you're an ACC team, you have a full slate of ACC games, you add a Big Ten team, you add a Pac-12 team, chances are you are not going to add a third Power 5 non-conference game. And if Iowa and Iowa State are not in the same conference, you know, they, obviously that what is what could save the Cy-Hawk, perhaps, in football. But Iowa is not going to play three Power 5 teams in their four non-conference games.
Very unlikely, and I don't think it's happened since the Hayden Fry era, when Fry opened up with, I think, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Iowa State, maybe not in that order, but it hasn't happened for quite some time. And, you know, and when we don't know what the future of the conference schedules will be like. You mentioned maybe going to eight games, thus opening four non-conference dates. So, once again, I said it two or three times now, a lot of moving parts here.
Very much so. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. We'll get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up in just a little bit. And we'll talk to Ben Visser, covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I think a little bit to talk about today as far as even Iowa State, not involved in the Alliance, but maybe involved in the Alliance sooner than later. Do you remember back, Mark, when we said 2 weeks ago, just, yeah, the SEC added two teams. Yeah, there's conferences. Yeah, we're not really looking toward expansion right now. We got it on our radar. It's not on the front burner at this point, though. You remember that? You remember what you and I both said? That, nah, we don't believe it.
And still don't. I have to imagine the SEC is at work right now trying to counteract what happened today with the Alliance.
True. 64-29, and you know, I haven't even really given much thought to Notre Dame as far as this is concerned. If Notre Dame isn't part of the Alliance, then Stanford and USC will be in the same boat as Iowa due to their rivalry games against the Irish.
Yeah.
I would have to agree with that as well. And I don't know what Notre Dame would do. I don't know what Notre Dame would do. But I'm not worried about Notre Dame because they're going to come up with some. They'll come up with a plan. Trust me on that one. Notre Dame is going to be absolutely fine in anything they do in college football.
But they don't want to be on the outside looking in of having a voice in such things as the college football playoffs and other things. As I said, this new three-pronged alliance represents 60% of the Power Five. Tremendous number of voices, 41 to be exact as of right now. And what voice does Notre Dame have? However, a very powerful institution, especially in football, but is its voice being diminished a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I don't see it. 81-86, Notre Dame will align with highest paying TV gig. could be. For a Purdue or a Michigan to add Notre Dame to their schedule, or a Michigan State, they've also played Notre Dame in the past, and the Stanfords and the USCs, to add that third Power Five game, if you will, in a non-conference, they're going to have to get a lot of compensation, I think. A lot of compensation. We'll see. No, 31-91, it's 41 teams because I believe the ACC has 15. Is that correct, Mark?
In football, it has 14, as far as I know. I'm just looking right now.
All right. Well, maybe I did not read anything about Notre Dame today. So, who knows? If that's the case, then maybe Notre Dame is a part of the ACC as far as football is concerned. The little Notre Dame logo is not on the ACC website. Let's just put it that. There are 15, Mark. There are 15. Boston College, Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, North Carolina. No, Notre Dame's up there. Notre Dame's up there. But they're in the ACC in every sport except football. So maybe Notre Dame's now a part of the ACC as far as football is concerned.
Yeah, you have 14 in the ACC, 14 in the Big Ten, and 12 in the Pac-12, right?
True. They are contractually obligated to play 5 ACC football games. Yes, thank you, 31-91. We did know that. And that's the way it has been. They did join the ACC last year due to the COVID year as a member of the ACC. That was only supposed to be a one-year deal.
Including Notre Dame in this alliance.
Yeah, maybe they are. Maybe they are. Did not mention Notre Dame today. You would think if Notre Dame was a part of it, Notre Dame would have been mentioned as their own entity. But maybe they're just going to stay with the ACC now as far as football is concerned. Bring them on! Notre Dame, either way, Notre Dame's going to be fine. Can we agree on that? Can we agree on that?
They will be. The Department of Clarification will weigh in shortly.
319-366-1600. 21-34, I don't see Iowa State in the Big Ten. Get your... No, Iowa State is not playing Mark's alma mater. By the way, talking about the Cohawks and the American Rivers Conference, hearty congratulations to our friend Chuck Yergren, who it was just announced ahead of start of our show, announced his retirement today, effective on October the 1st, I believe. for his 13-year run as a commissioner of the American Rivers Conference. Had Chuck on many times. May have to have him on again before he departs, Mark. But our friend Dan Hammes is going to be the interim commissioner. His very able-bodied guy in the office with him. But our happy retirement to Chuck out there.
Yeah, a joy to work with. And as you mentioned, he was on our show many times and during Division III week and others. Navigated the transition from many of the teams from the Iowa Conference to the American Rivers Conference, bringing in Nebraska Wesleyan. And we wish him a hearty retirement.
Very much so. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at KGYM. Before we get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard, we mentioned this yesterday. Of course, we got starting up on September the 9th, the KGYM Knockout Pool. It is back, and it is brought to you by Imon Communications. And all you have to do is be the last man or woman standing, and you will win $300 in cash from Imon Communications and KGYM. All the details are available. All you need to do is head to KGYMradio.com. Must be 18 years or older to participate. And your first pick must be entered by the start of the first NFL game on Thursday night, September the 9th, when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers host the Dallas Cowboys down in Tampa. So thanks to Imon Communications for helping us out with that. We very much appreciate it. All right, 3:31. We need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and behind the Taco John's. And what's happening on the scoreboard on this Tuesday afternoon?
Major League Baseball right now, one game in progress. It is in Oakland. Seattle and Oakland tied 1-1 in the top of the third inning. Everything else under the lights, including the Minnesota Twins at Boston. That's a 5:30 pregame on 107.5 FM. Scott, do we have another game later in the evening?
Wednesday night we will. We'll have the Dodgers and the Padres on Wednesday night at 8:30.
Gotcha. The Jacksonville Jaguars and maybe some fantasy football owners got really bad news today. Travis Etienne, the first-round draft pick of the Jaguars, running back, highly thought of, including by our guest tomorrow, Chris Liss of RotoWire, injured a foot and will likely be lost for the season.
Mm.
So you may have to readjust your fantasy lineups based on that. Finally, Indiana basketball has landed the four-star combo guard, Jalen Hood-Schifino. He is committed to the Hoosiers, the second four-star commitment in as many cycles for Indiana.
Yeah, by the way, it'll be a week from tomorrow for Chris. We have our final Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow.
My apologies, yes.
Yeah, we'll get Chris List coming up a week from Wednesday. But looking forward to talking golf one last time with Brian coming up tomorrow. Thursday, Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join us. We'll talk high school football. We'll talk Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball with Jeff as well. Right now, we're going to take a break. Come back. Speaking of the Gazette, Ben Visser covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Gazette will join us. Plenty to talk about in Iowa State's world. And we'll do that when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
There's nothing like a soccer ball finding the back of a net. And with BetMGM, you can win $100 when a goal is scored. You heard right. Sign up for the BetMGM app using code HANSON100, HANSON100. And if your first wager is a $1 moneyline bet on any English Premier League team, you'll receive $100 in free bets if either team records a goal. The opportunities to score big this season don't stop there. Try BetMGM's one-game parlay feature to make selections within a single soccer game, including team and player props. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 when you bet on any English Premier League game and either team scores a goal. Bet fearlessly on dozens of sports at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's almost September.
I know.
Pumpkin spice. Everything. Sweatshirts. Football games.
Capital credits.
Yay, September. Wait, what?
September's Linn County REC's Capital Credit Month.
Oh, wait, is that that thing where we get money credited to our bill?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that month. Linn County REC is so cool.
Yeah, since they're a cooperative, when they have profits above what they need to operate, it comes back to members like us on our September bill.
I wonder how much they've given back.
Well, the last I heard, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's incredible.
I know. Wonder how much credit I'll get this year.
Me too.
Let's go get lattes, hang out by the mailbox, and wait for our September bills to come.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
Okay.
When your September bill arrives from Linn County REC, take a look and find out what your capital credit is this year. It's all based on how much electricity you use. Capital credits, just another one of the benefits of membership at Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative. Find out more at linncountyrec.com.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
It is 3:35, back with you on the gym class on this Tuesday edition here on KGYM. Twins and the Red Sox coming up later on the Gym OT at 5:30, 107.5 FM. Ben Visser set to join us right now, covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We encourage you to give him a follow on Twitter, at BenVisser43, capital B, capital V, all one word, BenVisser43. And boy, Ben, first of all, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
Well, just a little bit to talk about today. When we first said, hey, you know what, let's get Ben on, let's talk about the Cyclones, we thought, okay, yeah, just preview what is the most anticipated season in Iowa State football history. And then we had a little alliance come in today, and now now you got the whole conference realignment, and what in the world is Jamie Pollard and Iowa State going to do again?
Man, what a good question. I wish I had the answer to that. If I had the answer to that, my life would be a lot easier. But, yeah, no, the alliance, I don't even know what to make of that. That seemed rushed and put together from my perspective. I'm not sure they needed a press conference on this day to announce that they have a handshake agreement that's not in writing. So, yeah, I don't. It's a weird, weird time in college football right now.
You think Iowa State is in a perilous situation at all right now in terms of basically only 8 teams left in the league in a few years here?
If their only option is to stay in the Big 12, then yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. It's the good part, good thing for Iowa State right now is Jamie Pollard has been at the school for 17 some odd years. He's one of the best athletic directors in the country. He's leading up the Athletic Directors Association of America this year, whatever he's doing. Matt Campbell has the football program in the best position it's ever been in. So if this whole realignment stuff were to ever happen, now is as good a time as any for it to happen, because Iowa State, in theory, might have some options, whether it's the Pac-12 and forming that Pac-12 East with Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Texas Tech, and maybe a few other schools, or an outside bid at the Big Ten. Who knows how viable that is. But if there was a time for it to happen, now would be the time. But if Iowa State's only option is the Big 12, then it's going to be hurting.
Dave Wanstead mentioned on radio today in Chicago that Iowa State and Kansas talks were that they will be headed to the Big Ten. How credible is that? And have you heard any? We've heard it, obviously, in the rumor mill, but how credible is that?
I think it's another addition to the rumor mill. The interesting part about it is if anyone would be in somewhat the know, it would be someone at Fox Sports, because they have the Big Ten and there might be some inside lead there. I'm not sure how much weight I'm putting in it. It is interesting that he said it and he in his report in the Pac-12, he mentioned Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and he said Texas Tech was on the outside looking in at the Pac-12, which is interesting because if you're the Pac-12, do you want to add a Texas school to make recruiting in Texas a little bit easier? I don't know, but yeah, it's just some of the specifics he had in there were interesting and not specifics I had heard before, but right now I think it's just one to add to the rumor mill because I haven't heard anyone else really say those exact specifics again.
Ben, our poll question today is with the Big Ten's changing landscape, will the Cy-Hawk game survive?
Excellent question. If Iowa State does get added to the Big Ten, then obviously it will, and the whole state will be, well, probably happy. If Iowa State doesn't get out of the Big Ten, 2025 might be the last year because I don't think Iowa State's going to go to Iowa every single season. I'm not sure what incentive I'm not sure what incentive either one would have to keep going with it if Iowa State is not a Power Four school now. If Iowa State gets to the Pac-12 and this alliance thing is still a thing, and the Big Ten and Pac-12 already have a scheduling agreement anyway, then I could see the Cy-Hawk thing keep going. So there's a lot of moving pieces to this. If you put me on the spot right now and asked me if it's going to keep going, I'd probably lean toward yes, because I think more options lead to yes, but I could easily see it not happening too.
Well, this thing could go three different directions that I can see, but
at least.
Yeah. Ben Visser joining us here at 3:40, just to let you know, as the skies are darkening as we look to the west and the north, severe thunderstorm warning is in effect right now, and that will go for a few more minutes, and that is for northern Linn County, southern Delaware, northwestern Jones, and northeastern Benton, as well as eastern Buchanan County. So wind's starting to pick up here at the KGYM studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Let's get to football and Iowa
Sounds
State.
Good.
Yeah, Iowa State. And this tells you right now the state of this program that the headlines on basically every one of the national websites yesterday, Iowa State with the most, tied with Notre Dame for the most preseason All-Americans. When Matt Campbell came on board, I don't even think anyone in their great dreams could have foreseen that.
No.
But there it is.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massive. And it's an interesting collection of guys if you look at it from where they were in high school. Mike Rose had only MAC offers. Charlie Kolar wanted to go to Oklahoma. They didn't even want him because he's originally from Norman, Oklahoma. Both his parents are professors at University of Oklahoma. That was where he wanted to go. They didn't even look at him, said, be on your merry way. He ends up at Iowa State. And then Breece Hall starts as a two-star recruit when Iowa State first offers him, gets moved up to a three-star once he gets his Iowa State offer. Then magically, once more schools offer him, he moves to a four-star. It's interesting how those things work. So, yeah, it's just an interesting collection of guys if you look at it from where they started. But it just, I think, speaks to the development that is happening under Matt Campbell and the leadership that he provides, that he can take, obviously, Breece Hall is an unbelievable talent, but he can take these guys like a Mike Rose, who had essentially no offers, and make them into an All-American. I mean, Mike Rose was committed to Ball State before he got an Iowa State offer, and that was the only Power 5 offer he got. So I think it just speaks to what Matt Campbell has done and is continuing to do in terms of developing guys that he likes and guys that fit his system, and then next thing you know, they're all Big 12 or All-American caliber players.
Yeah, I can confirm, Scott, it's very dark at the homestead, and it's probably dropped 15 to 20 degrees here in the last few minutes. So, hey, Ben, you mentioned Breece Hall, pretty much a consensus preseason All-America. Did I read it right? He's going to return kicks this year?
Yeah, so he went to Matt Campbell in the offseason under his own accord and said, hey, coach, Kenny Nwangu is gone in the NFL. We need a kick returner. I'd like to be that guy. And you don't hear that very often from an All-America running back or a guy who wants to win a Heisman, is contending for a Heisman. Matt Campbell obliged and said, all right, we'll throw you back there during fall camp, see how you do. By all accounts, going well. Now, I don't think Breece Hall will be the full-time kick returner. I think that will go to a different person. Not quite sure who that could be. Might be a true freshman named Jalen Noel. Kind of in the same mold as Kenny Nwangu. Instead of running back, he plays receiver, though. But going back to Breece, I could see him being a situational kick returner. Like, let's say it's a tie game or a team goes up by a touchdown and they need to get momentum back. They need to change the tide of how this game is going. I could see them throwing Breece Hall back there and say, hey, go for it. Get us what you can. And it's not super unprecedented. The Vikings did something similar with Percy Harvin back when Percy Harvin was in his prime. He started as a kick returner and punt returner, but when he got to his prime, he was mostly that slot receiver type. But there were kickoffs where they'd throw Percy back there and he'd get him 40, 60 yards. So it'd be interesting to see. I don't think it'd be full-time at all, but if Breece Hall does go back there, it'd be fun to see.
Yeah. Brock Purdy, going into his final year, as far as an Iowa State starting quarterback is concerned, holds most of the records as far as passing and quarterbacking marks as far as Iowa State is concerned. What else can Brock Purdy do besides lead this team to the college football playoff?
Yep, beat Iowa would be a nice place to start for Brock Purdy. That hasn't happened yet. He's beaten every Big 12 team. I think he's beaten every Big 12 team multiple times, but he has yet to get past Iowa. Obviously, the two teams didn't play last year, so we didn't have that opportunity. But that could be a nice little notch in the belt. And then I think the main thing that Brock Purdy wants to work on is that decision-making. I think everyone that watches Brock Purdy knows that he tends to lean on the gunslinger side of everything. He's not a game manager by any stretch of the imagination. He's going to, if he has an opportunity, throw the ball out there. Saw that against TCU. He's getting sacked, and he literally just throws the ball as high as he can. Obviously, gets intercepted, and then everyone that saw that play is like, Brock, what are you doing? Just take that sack, live to play another down. But that's how he tends to play against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. He's getting chased out of the pocket on the third down, whips the ball out there late in the fourth quarter, and that ends Iowa State's dreams at a Big 12 championship. If Brock Purdy just throws that away, lives to play for fourth down, I'm not saying the game would be different, but they'd have another chance at it. So decision-making is something that he needs to work on and is working on. I mean, Joel Gordon, the quarterback's coach, even said that obviously you'd like your quarterback to make the right decision all the time, but that's not going to happen. But what we need from Brock is you don't need to make every play. You just need to make the right play, and that's something that he's been working on this offseason. So we'll see. I think you and I will be actually a really good test of that because, in theory, Iowa State could out-talent you and I and still beat them. So will Brock Purdy be able to just stay within himself? You don't need to gunsling against you and I. You just, if you play your game, make good decisions, it'll still end up with a win. So I think this first game could be pretty telling about whether or not Brock Purdy is growing in that aspect or if he's, you know, still a little bit more on the gunslinger side. And I say that, and he only threw 9 interceptions last year, so it's not like he's just reckless with the ball, but he does make poor decisions every now and again.
Ben, with the starters returning across the board almost, there's very few positions that are of great concern, I don't think, for Matt Campbell. But if they are, what would they be?
Yeah, I think defensive back, specifically cornerback, would be one. You have Anthony Johnson on one side, who is a all Big 12 caliber player and is without a doubt the leader of that cornerback's room. But on the other side, they've had some fluctuations. Guys like Datron Young have been in and out with injuries. Tavon Kyle has been in and out. TJ Tampa is a young guy from Florida. He was a true freshman last year, got some playing time. Then he hit a freshman wall and kind of fell out. So will TJ Tampa be able to step up and be that starting cornerback opposite Anthony Johnson? Is Datron Young going to be healthy enough? Will he be able to stay out there and play an entire season? I think because Iowa State only plays 2 cornerbacks, they don't have a nickelback. They play 3 safeties instead. So you got 2 cornerbacks. You got Anthony Johnson on one who's solid. You need to find that second defensive back. And then if you wanted to say another position with question marks, I think they've heard about it, but another position with question marks is that defensive line. 2 guys leave in that defensive tackle spot, Latrell Banks and Josh Bailey both transfer out. You return Isaiah Lee. But by all accounts, J.R. Singleton is a young guy who has just blown the coaches away. Matt Campbell said he's the best recruit Iowa State's ever brought in. That includes a guy like Breece Hall. So J.R. Singleton, by all accounts, is going to be a star. Willie, I went into this season assuming Isaiah Lee would be the starter just by virtue of him having experience, but it actually sounds like J.R. Singleton might be that guy that, I don't know if he'll start that first game, but it sounds like he'll get probably the significant amount of reps. So defensive line is a little bit of a question mark just because of depth and who's going to do what, but I think Iowa State still feels really good about that position.
One thing that's got to get better for Iowa State, I think, is special teams. Not necessarily the return team, but just kicking and punting has got to be better.
Yes, 100%. And I would even throw kick returning in there with Kenny Nwangu graduating. I think every special team is has some issues. I mean, Connor Sally is okay within 25 yards, but once you go beyond 25 yards, he doesn't have enough leg, and that's a big problem. So if you're trying to line up for a game winner against Oklahoma and it's a 32-yard field goal, you're starting to bite your nails because you're not sure Connor Sally has the leg to get there. On that note, Iowa State did bring in a transfer named Andrew Mevis, and by all accounts, he has one of the stronger legs in college football. He had in kickoffs last year, he had a touchback rate of, I think, 75%, which was in the top 10. And Iowa State, as a team last year, had a touchback rate of like 4%. So Andrew Mevis connected on 75% of his field goals the last season he played at Fordham. He's going to take over the kickoff duty. Should be able to put the ball in the end zone. So Iowa State fans should be thrilled about that because they haven't seen that too often these last couple years. And then punter, they lose Joe Rivera. They do have Corey Dunn, an Australian, who played sparingly, but Joe Rivera beat him out. So it'll be interesting. I think he should be fine. Punt return, Tariq Milton coming back from injury, he should be fine punt returner. And then, as we talked about, kick return will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Ben, I think folks are very anxious to get back to Jack Trice Stadium. Due to events of recent months, that as witness in season ticket sales, but cosmetically at the stadium, I know there were some projects that either have been completed or near completion.
Yeah, yep. So the northwest corner is the new $90 million sports performance complex. That houses the new Iowa State football locker room. It also houses a lot of Olympic sport training facilities. It houses the Academic Success Center. It houses a student-athlete cafeteria, all sorts of stuff. So that's going to be on the northwest corner. Just to the east of that, they made a new entrance on the north side that kind of doesn't mirror the south side with that Sioux Cup End Zone Club. But it is a much more appealing entrance. Before, you just kind of went in the gate and you went up a steep hill. Now it's more of an entrance. It feels like you're entering a nice college football stadium. The incline isn't quite as steep as it was getting up to your seats. And they did rework the concourse. So before you had I'm not even sure how it really worked to get around the stadium on the concourse on that north side. Apparently they made it work, but now there is actually a concourse on that north side. So a lot of improvements to Jack Trice on the north side. And really, I think, I don't know, fans will definitely notice who attend. Fans on TV aren't going to know the difference, really. But nice upgrades for sure.
Last one here, Ben. A lot of people around the country have Iowa State perhaps 10-0 before Oklahoma. If that is the case, what, besides, I think, Iowa, would be the game that you're pointing at and maybe looking at as one that's not quite as easy in the W column that some people are giving it to the Cyclones?
Yeah, Iowa's definitely one of them. Oklahoma State, it's in Ames, so that helps. But Oklahoma State might be in Iowa State trouble. this last year, Oklahoma State seemed to figure out how to play defense, much like the rest of the Big 12 magically figured out how to play defense these last couple of years. Oklahoma State's one that tends to give Iowa State a lot of trouble. They're very, very aggressive defense. So if you can handle the blitzes and the pressures, you should do all right. But last year, I didn't quite go Iowa State's way, and Oklahoma State did just enough on offense to beat them. So I think that's one that is a little bit troubling. And then Texas is another one. Who knows what they're going to be? I mean, they were fine but not great last year, as they've been for the last decade since they fired Mack Brown. But what does Steve Sarkisian bring? That's my biggest thing. I see Steve Sarkisian going one of two ways. Either way, he's going to have another spectacular failure, or he's going to have figured it out while he's during his time at Alabama and learning under Nick Saban, and he's going to bring Texas to the level that it expects to be at. I don't know which way I'm leaning on that scale, but Texas could be another one to trip Iowa State up if Steve Sarkisian does have this figured out. But one last thing that I want to say, Texas opens up against Louisiana that first game, same way Iowa State opened up last season. Louisiana returns every single one of their players. So Steve Sarkisian might have an interesting and rude awakening to being a head coach once again, because that Louisiana team is nothing. You can't play with your food against them. I'll say that.
True. All right. Hey, Ben, appreciate it. Enjoy the Iowa State beat, and we'll talk to you as we go through the year.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Ben Vester covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter, as we do as well, at Ben Visser 43. Quick break. Come back to wrap things up after this.
I have yet to run into any staff member that has even appeared to be having a bad day. I mean, they're just so welcoming.
Every experience I have with them, I walk away and I'm like, gosh, they're great there.
It's the we share your values feeling Ben and Aaron get at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust.
We made the switch to Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, roughly 5 years ago.
I hate change. I kind of fought it, but I was completely wrong.
The switch was so easy. You're actually connecting with it. With a human.
They couldn't be better at what they do.
They're a very community-minded bank. Many nonprofits were involved in. We see CRBT out there.
Every time they go above and beyond.
The kids' experience has been great as well. They send a hand-signed birthday card to each of our children on their birthday. That goes to show who Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust is.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, celebrating 20 years of people you can bank on. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Back to wrap things up in the gym class. No weather warnings right now except for a severe thunderstorm watch. That is in effect until 7 o'clock, but the line is getting ready to move into the Cedar Rapids Marion area very, very shortly here, Mark. Our thanks to Ben Visser for joining us. Tomorrow it will be Golf Talk. Our final Caddy Smack of the year, Brian Haas from Blue Top Ridge, will join us. Get your golf questions ready to go. And a hearty welcome to Spencer, who joined our staff today at KGYM and Z102.9 and Smart from the fine state of Wisconsin. So great to have Spencer on board with us from here on in, and a valued new member of the team as he joins us here today. And Mark as well, our... we've lost the first Rolling Stone, Charlie Watts, the drummer, 80, passed away. It was expected, unfortunately, but that gets you right there. If you remember of the over 50 crowd, that the first member of the Rolling Stones has passed.
An icon, a tremendous drummer. And what was he, 80, Scott? I
80,
think.
Yep.
80. And thoughts go out to all the Rolling Stones fans out there.
Liver probably beyond that, but not going to say he lived a very full life, as have every member of the Rolling Stones. No doubt about that. But, we'll see what happens with the band as they continue to travel, pre-COVID anyway, and post-COVID, hopefully, around the world. Twins and the Red Sox coming up at 5:30 for you on the Jim OT 107.5 FM. And again, coming up tomorrow, it will be Caddy Smack. We'll talk golf with you. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was...